This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
When you're at the grocery store, you need to talk to people. You need to lead generate where you live. Talk to people. This is a relationship game. It is not just with strangers. You need to also have great relationships with other agents in the city, out of the state, because you may be on the end of a transaction with that agent.
Welcome to the ColorOfMoneyPodcast.com. Hey, I am your moderator and your co-host, Emmerich Peace. Alongside of me, I have Daniel Dixon today. Our guest today is none other than Chief Master Sergeant retired Monique Slater. And I absolutely have to give her a credit. And I have to say Chief Master Sergeant because she's retired from the United States Air Force. She retired as a Chief Master Sergeant, which is the top 1% of all of the enlisted force in the United States Air Force. So what that really means, out of 1.3 million people, she is the top 1%, the cream of the crop. And the conversation is really, when you're at the top of your game and you're at the cream of the crop, and then you transition to another career, and then you're still at the top, even in your next career, you know, success leaves clues. We want to welcome you here to the Color of Money podcast. Thank you for being here with us. And, you know, I'm going to give you all of your just due.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here with you guys. You two powerhouses.
No, Daniel, the powerhouse. I just plug in the power. That's all. I just plug in the power.
It's silly.
And so, you know, Chief, in that transition, transitioning in the top 1%, enlisted in the military, and then you go into a new career. And now you got to start at the bottom. Pretty much, because it's a new career, it's a new life, it's a totally new existence. How does being in that elite status group of leaders and then you come into real estate, how does that transition happen for you? And matter of fact, how did you even get into real estate?
I got a real estate license because I was already in real estate and real estate agents were moving too slow. So I really got in it for me. Long story short, growing up, I'm from Compton, single parent household. Me, my mother, my sister grew up together. We were homeless a couple times when I was younger, and I didn't even realize that we were homeless until I actually grew up and then thought about why were we staying with people and things like that. Because back then, children stayed in children's business. So as my mother's trying to find a place for us to live, of course, we're not privy to those conversations. So I was homeless. But when I realized that we were homeless, I actually, as my mom was like, were we homeless? Why did we leave our house? And then that's when she really explained it and was like, yeah, the neighbors took us in. And from that day forward, I vowed that I would never be homeless again. So I've never rented except when I was stationed in Belgium. But in the military, I just took that opportunity, that free money that they give us for housing. I bought my first home in Shreveport, Louisiana for $64,000. And I thought, oh my God, I can't afford this. Can you imagine if we could buy homes right now for $64,000? Oh my God. Why did I buy a ton of them? But every time I PCS, I just bought a home. Even It's amazing how I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, no, I'm only going to be stationed here for 3 years. So even when I knew I was on a one-year tour, we still bought a house and we still cash flow those houses today. So that's how I got into real estate. And it was just a natural transition when I retired and didn't want to supervise. I didn't want to lead. I didn't want to do any of that stuff that I had done for 28 years and just said, I'm going to get a license because these agents move too slow. They don't even know their crafts. I know more than them. And that's why I originally got a license, because they were just moving too slow. But then I end up, it just grew into this full-time passion that I just have to just educate. Let me show you how this is done. Let me show you how I have 17 properties in the state, 2 in the Dominican Republic. Let me show you. It's really not that hard. It's not that hard at all.
My story was similar. Just from a different angle. I've never lived in a rented house either, except when I was in Japan. And the whole idea of getting into real estate was that people just weren't doing a great job. I think that's part of it, is that when you're in the military, there's a certain commitment to excellence and response, and you just don't get that in normal business world. And so it's just, if you want to make something happen, do it yourself. And that's a great thing. So you got in because agents weren't moving fast. That still doesn't explain how you started selling.
They didn't know their craft. I retired out of San Antonio here. So they were coming into San Antonio, where we have an amazing market. It's one of the most affordable markets to buy in. And they were still looking for rent. So I pretty much took them under my wing. It's like, you're not going to rent. Let me show you. And it just happened time over time, just showing airmen how to buy. I do try to educate them on when they leave, they want to sell. And I want them to sell. That's how I make money. But I don't really want them to sell. So I educate them on how holding your property and building generational wealth just from real estate could help. But a lot of them are still scared. So they do sell. Some of them will, you know, not sell and rent, which is a good thing. And just to go from there on how to build a portfolio.
And so you were doing this work. And one of the things that I believe is really we can get our listeners' ear is that you just started where you were. You begin with the sphere of influence that you had, the group of people that were around you. You gave great services. And now we have this Black label thing that you weren't Black label before. What helped you grow into Black label from just being a solo agent?
I actually was a solo agent before I came over to KW. So KW is not my first brokerage. When I came over from another smaller little brokerage, I actually came over and joined forces with another chief, and we formed a team. And after a few months, he decided he wanted to go to ESP. But you know, my heart is with KW.
Right.
So I stayed, and my brokerage pulled me aside and was like, you need to start your own team and we're going to help you. They have so many resources here to just help agents succeed. And that's why I love being here, because I didn't even think about starting my own team until, you know, he brought it to me. It was like, we're going to help you build a team. And that's where it got started. And the name actually came from my son, because I wanted to, you know, just trying to figure out names, platinum this, excellence that, you know. And my son was just like, why don't you just be Black label? He's a bartender. So if you can imagine, he's thinking his top shelf stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually, it has a different meaning to it. But yes.
We work a lot with the military. And in the military, it's frustrating because a lot of them don't have a lot of financial literacy. It's something that we're not taught in schools. We're not taught in the military at all. Some of them are transitioning out, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, and they don't understand this concept of building generational wealth. How do you get through to them, or how do you connect with them to have them understand there is some risk with owning real estate, but there's also this incredible gain that you can have in 20, 30 years on top of your pension and whatnot? How do you train, teach, coach? Obviously, you being military, you have the trust right away, right?
Right. So in the military, it's a natural trust. I'm going to go to battle with this person. I'm going to trust. And then also with the rank, it's an automatic trust. And when they find out, oh, you're retired chief, it's already like I already have credibility. So I make sure I maintain that credibility. But for me, it's all about teaching. And I don't just go in with them. I just want to teach you about real estate. Why don't you have life insurance? Let's talk about investments. Let's talk about a lot of different things, especially when they're getting out of the military. We've had free medical and dental. Let's talk about medical and dental. What are you going to do? You know, so real estate is just another thing that I like to talk about and teach them. But I'm looking at growing them as a whole person so they can see in the next 10, 20 years that they have a goal that they need to get to, just to be a better person. And real estate is going to help them find that resource later if they hold on to properties. A lot of people think you're going to buy and sell, or a lot of people will think they will get in and flip. And I'm going to tell you, like, if you don't have any experience in flipping, your first couple flips, you're going to lose some money because you don't have that experience. So that is my niche, is the military. 96% of my business is military, and the other 44% is probably their parents.
Yeah.
But they know that that's mine. And I'm continually educating and continuing to get education, because you can't stop learning. I want to be that person that people know as an expert in the field, expert in my area, expert in my market. And so they come to me. Sometimes they just come with questions and I'm an open book. I'll give you free answers. I won't spend too much time if it's a whole consultation because I don't work for free, but I am an open book when it comes to let me help you, you know, get started. And you're right. They do not teach financial literacy in the military. So sometimes we just got to start with a budget. Like, what do you spend your money on?
And you know what? And that's interesting. They don't teach financial literacy anywhere, really. Well, if you aren't teaching in college, they don't teach it in the military. You have to learn what you learn from people like yourself and people willing to educate other people basically on financial literacy. So your business is built on trust. You build a rapport with people so they understand where your genuineness comes from, where your heart is. And that just translates into more and more business for you. What's your business been like the past 2 years? We talked before and you were talking, saying my business is down. However, your down business is better than most people's up business.
It is. So my business in the last 2 years have been great. For me, it has been down. I'm only right now sitting at about 68, 69 transactions this year. So that is down.
Wait a minute. Only at 68, 69 then.
That's not my team number.
That's what I know.
Last year, I was 94 transactions. So it's been down for me and I have not been hitting my goals, going back to the basics of going back to education because people just really need to be educated. But yes, business is starting to come back. People are, for some reason, had in their mind this whole election. They didn't need to live in a house because of the election. I don't understand it. So now the election is over and we're done with that. Let's get back to business of putting you in a house. Either you're going to buy your own house or you're going to pay my mortgage as a landlord. So business is starting to pick up. But I have two new agents that I have to teach to lead generate because I lead generate different. I'm 100% referral based. And I purposely built that business because of my sphere of influence. But when you have two agents that don't have that sphere, I'm teaching them to actually lead generate. And I refuse to just give them leads without them working for it.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
We were talking about this earlier, and lead generation is having real estate conversations with people. They can be your friends, they can be your family, they can be strangers, they can be open house leads, door knocking. There's 15, 20 different ways that we can do this. But for a lot of agents that get in the business, your job is lead generation. Your job is not showing houses and writing contracts and managing transactions. Your job is talking about real estate and creating relationships with people, with consumers. So you were very intentional on building a referral-based business. With these newer agents that are joining your team or joining the industry, how do you get them motivated to lead generate?
Yeah, the motivation is a thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That's the thing. I have one that's extremely motivated. And she's doing open houses every weekend. And I could see it on her. After a couple months, I can see the fatigue. I call it open house fatigue, where you're doing open houses every weekend and you just need 1 weekend off. So I gave her a weekend off, but she's out lead generating now. And so some things that I give to her is like, hey, just sit down and have coffee in the morning with somebody. Right now, there's a lot of people that just want to talk to people. They just want to meet with people. And coffee is cheap. I just had coffee with somebody before I jumped on with you guys. And you can do that. Or just call and see how their parents are doing. So I allow them to go in and touch my database because unfortunately, I don't have time to do it right now. So I do allow them to go in and say, hey, touch these people right here. Give them a call. See how they're doing. Most of them are from church. And you know, if they're from church, they want to talk. So I let them have them ones because them church ladies be like to talk for like 20 minutes. And so those are the things they need to do. And I tell them, hey, when you're at the gym, you need to talk to people. When you're at the grocery store, you need to talk to people. You need to lead generate where you live. talk to people. This is a relationship game. And it's not just with strangers. You need to also have great relationships with other agents in the city, out of the state, because you may be on the end of a transaction with that agent and you want to have a good, you know, smooth transaction. So it's just really about relationship building.
One of the questions that is working really, really well for a lot of people in our market is simply, so what do you guys think about the market? I'm a real estate agent. I know what's happening with the market, but if we're just asking people at the store, whether you're wearing your name tag or wearing your logo and stuff, like, so what do you got? What's your take on the market? What do you guys think? It's really a really good conversation starter to start having those conversations around buying, selling, values, foreclosures, all the other stuff.
And that's good, Daniel, that they should be asking. I'm going to bring that up, that you guys should be asking people, what do you think about the market now?
The truth is, it doesn't really matter what they think. You just want to get them engaged in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to have dialogue to build a rapport for a future conversation.
Right. But I also want them to lead with facts. You have like a subscription. I have a subscription to Keep in Current Matters. They always give in facts and charts and things like that. I want them to have conversations on facts and not necessarily on how they feel.
And so like right now, like you have your agents work under you. They work under the Black Label brand. You have your own transactions. They have their transactions. When you start talking about growing your business, what's your plan to, do you have a plan to grow your business? Do you want a larger team or do you want to downsize?
I have a very small but powerful team. It's very small. There's only 5 of us. And I like it like that.
You don't want 10 people?
I can't be a Daniel Dixon. I can't do it. I can't do it. I admire that he does that. I can't. After 28 years of leading airmen, I never wanted to go back into leadership, but it just comes out. It's just in you. And I like the small family business. Like, we're family, and I love that. I love that. But here, we have a mega team, and their family also, and there's about 30 agents in on that team. So it's possible.
So what's next for you? What's the thing? What are we building? What are we working towards?
I have really been trying to think about what's my retirement out of real estate going to be? Can I get all my systems and processes together to be able to sell it? I don't have that desire to chase money anymore. I don't. I just want to get people in homes. I want to sell happiness. I just want them to get in a home where they enjoy gathering with family and playing games and raising their kids. I no longer want to chase money anymore.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is that you're going to sell houses and you're going to donate all the money somewhere else. So you're not going to take any of the money. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm going to buy more houses for me. I'm going to buy more properties for me. I just bought another property in the VR and I love it. But I think when you're chasing money, you're not having a passion for people. I think people can smell that on you.
Yeah, it's called commission breath. But here's the deal.
Yes.
You never get all of the money that you would like to have when you're chasing money. Because the only way you can chase something is if it's running away from you. And so in that whole idea of chasing money, you're pursuing something that you really don't deserve. That's the way I look at it, because it's running from you because you're chasing it. So how about we move to a place in our career where we attract the money and you become a money magnet through your relationships.
But also, I want my relationships to be rich and real. I'm too old now for these relationships that are just not genuine and authentic.
Wait a minute. You're too old now? Really?
You know, I had a birthday.
Yeah, and I'm about to have a birthday. And my birthday is 10 years past yours. So old? You ain't there yet.
I feel it.
Okay, that's to say now that you're more mature.
Yes. So I feel like I have to live today like I might not be here tomorrow.
Okay. That's fair.
So I want to enjoy life today like I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So you know I'm coming up on 1 year as a kidney donor, right?
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I donated a kidney on December the 12th. And that changed how I looked at life.
Okay.
And then I actually got some hate stuff in my messenger about what if your kids needed your kidney? My thing was, what if they don't? And then I was holding on to a kidney that could have saved a life. Or what if they do need a kidney, but the Lord provides a ram in the bush for them, like Ivy for somebody else? So after that surgery, it just changed how I looked at life. Like, I need to live now. I don't know how much longer any of us are going to be here. And I know a lot of people are chasing money and stacking and chasing, but what are you doing to live right now? That's not my focus anymore.
Okay, so we have houses. We want to buy more houses.
I just want to make sure my family is secure. So my mother's secure, my boys are secure. I'm teaching my boys stuff that I didn't get taught. Like, we didn't get taught to put your assets in a trust.
Right.
And then have insurance to cover your trust and to have the benefit. We didn't get taught all that. So that's stuff that I'm teaching my boys now. And I would love for our community to teach that also. I mean, I know it's advanced because, you know, we got to teach our community how to budget. But this is stuff that should be talked about at the dinner table. In other communities, they're talking about that kind of stuff on the at the dinner table. And we're not. And we need to be. We can't expect anybody else to educate our community. We have to get in there and do it ourselves.
I'm hearing a lot of legacy. I'm hearing a lot of the future. Live in the moment. Protect the future. Influence others. Teach.
Yes.
I love that.
And so in this whole legacy, and if one had to say, Chief Monique Slater lived by this principle and left this for the world, what would it be? What principle did you live by, and what are you leaving for the world?
I hope people would say that I lived by excellence and integrity, and that I was open to share, because some people just don't share. They just don't share. I don't have anything that I'm trying to hold back to help my business that wouldn't help your business. Because people will say, why do you give us so much information? Because my clients are not your clients and my sphere is not your sphere. There's enough out here for all of us to eat. Absolutely, there is. So I would hope they would say that, you know, I live by excellence and integrity.
And what does your family say about you?
My family say, Mom, you work too much.
Mommy worked too much and we're going to enjoy all of our inheritance. That's what they're going to say.
They do. But I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here so I don't die. And then they think they can buy a course with my money.
Chief, this has been a really great conversation. Daniel, you want to close us out?
I think a lot of us get so caught up in the day to day that we get our mind off of legacy. And I think that for a lot of high achievers, it's really important to stay clear on what are we building. Who are we building it for? What matters most?
I just want to say for the record, Daniel, I'm so glad that legacy is your conversation now.
Hey, we evolve and we grow.
So that closes us out for this edition of the Color of Money podcast. Visit us on thecolorofmoneypodcast.com. We're also on YouTube. Chief Monique Slater, thank you, thank you, thank you for being our guest. Daniel, as usual, and for our other co-hosts who are not here today, we're grateful that you came and joined us.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.